This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith, doing what we call apologetics. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on four details that come from the readings for this upcoming sixth Sunday of Easter, Year A. The first detail, which comes from the first reading in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 and 14 through 17, pertains to the sacrament of confirmation. The two details found in the second reading, which is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, give us an opportunity to reflect on the importance of the apologetics ministry itself and the moral principle that we should never do evil to bring about a good. The last detail that we're going to reflect on is found in the gospel, which is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. The relevant topic there, as we'll see, is the importance of good works for our salvation. Let's begin with the first reading. Again, it's taken from Acts 8, 5 through 8 and 14 through 17. Here's the entire passage. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, what we want to focus on for our purposes here is the need for the apostles Peter and John to come and bestow the Holy Spirit on the newly baptized Samaritans. We know from verses 12 and 16 of the same chapter that Philip had already baptized these Samaritans, which means they would have already received the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is given in baptism. Peter teaches us much in Acts 2:38 when he says, "Be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Paul concurs with Peter. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he writes, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So, what's being given here in Acts 8 is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's distinct from baptism. An outpouring that's akin to what the apostles received on the day of Pentecost. And the clue is found in verses 18 through 19 of this same chapter. Here's what we read. "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on the apostles' hands, he offers them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that anyone of whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now think about this. How in the world could Simon see that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of hands? The only intelligible explanation is that there must have been some sort of visible manifestation like that on the day of Pentecost. And this is supported by the fact that when the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius and his friends in Acts chapter 10, two chapters later, verses 44 through 45, we're told in verse 46 that they spoke in a variety of tongues, just like on the day of Pentecost. Something similar must have happened here in Acts chapter 8 when Peter and John laid hands on the Samaritans, prompting Simon to want to buy such power. Now, this provides biblical grounds for the Catechism of the Catholic Church's teaching in paragraph 1288 that the sacrament of confirmation in a certain way perpetuates the grace of Pentecost in the church. What the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was for the Christians on the day of Pentecost is what Christians receive in the sacrament of confirmation, a distinct outpouring of the Holy Spirit that completes and perfects what is received initially in baptism. So, we have opportunity in this first reading to reflect on the sacrament of confirmation. Okay, let's now move to the second reading, which is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. Peter writes this, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit." There are two details here that I want to focus on. The first is Peter's command, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. That's the apologetics mantra, right? That's the passage for apologetics. As many of you know who are listening, right? As many of you listening know, the Greek word that's used for explanation is apologia, from which we get the word apologetics. Apologia means a reasonable defense. So here, we have a command from our first pope, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to engage in the science of apologetics, the science of giving an intellectual justification for why we believe what we believe as Christians, and in particular for us as Catholic Christians. This is the battle cry for us here at Catholic Answers. Apologetics is what we do. So I thought it was worth highlighting that detail, given that this is a podcast for the upcoming Sunday Mass readings that emphasizes apologetics. Now, the second detail is Peter's statement, for it's better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. Paul concurs with Peter. In Romans chapter 3, verse 8, Paul states the same thing when he writes, "And why not say, as some people slander us by saying that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Their condemnation is deserved." So, of course, obviously, Paul is rejecting the idea that we can do evil that good may come. Now, these two passages serve as revelatory confirmation from revelation, of the natural moral principle that we can know by reason, never do evil that good come from it. This principle is rooted in the first and fundamental moral precept, good is to be done and pursued, and evil is to be avoided. If you're interested, St. Thomas Aquinas elaborates on this principle in Article 2, Question 94 of the first part of the second part of his Summa Theologiae. We also have magisterial confirmation of the principle. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1756, one may not do evil so that good may result from it. So, the second reading gives us an opportunity to reflect on the fundamentals of morality, which is nothing more, when you unpack that, than the art of being human. Now, we could spend some more time of giving some philosophical defense of that moral principle that we cannot do evil, that good may come about of it. We just simply don't have the time in this episode for our podcast. So that's some material for a future article for Catholic Answers Magazine online at Catholic.com. So hopefully I'll be able to get to that and we can geek out a little bit on unpacking that moral principle and giving a defense for it. It can be done, by the way. Okay, so on to the gospel reading, which is taken from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. One small detail that I'll mention in passing is Jesus' promise to send the Spirit of truth to the apostles. He talks about how the Holy Spirit, he will send the Spirit of truth to the apostles to guide them, which Holy Mother Church wants us to read in light of the first reading and the sending of the Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. So that's just one small detail I wanted to highlight in passing. But for our apologetical purposes, I think Jesus' teaching in verse 21 of John 14 is important. He says this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Some Protestants, as you may know who are listening, believe that our good works play no role in us attaining salvation. Rather, for some, it's argued that faith alone saves us, right? We're all familiar with that. But this teaching of Jesus disproves this belief. Jesus is very clear that keeping his commandments is essential to loving him. And because loving Jesus is essential to us attaining salvation, it follows that keeping his commandments, which is just doing loving deeds, is essential to us attaining our salvation. Now, as we've mentioned in previous episodes here at the Sunday Catholic Word, it's important to note that when we speak of works playing a role in us attaining salvation, we're talking about attaining our final salvation at the end of our lives, not the initial phase of our salvation, when we initially enter into Christ through baptism or in extraordinary circumstances before baptism. Such salvation is given irrespective of good works. Good works have no meritorious value prior to and outside of sanctifying grace. Nevertheless, when it comes to our final salvation, loving the Lord through good works is indeed essential, as the Master himself teaches us. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. The sixth Sunday of Easter has not sold us short on apologetical topics. We have the Sacrament of Confirmation, the exhortation for Christians to engage in apologetics, the moral principle of never doing evil to bring about a good, and the necessity of good works for us to attain our salvation. Well, my friends, thank you for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well. Also, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, go to shop.catholic.com. I hope you have a blessed sixth Sunday of Easter. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.